Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go here on a Getaway Friday, September the 4th, 2020, 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in live to WWGH Radio. And here's what you need to do. For the next 2 hours, if you're listening on a listening device, set it down so you can't touch it. You don't want to change the dial for 2 hours. If you're listening on a radio, take the dial off if it's still got a dial. If it's got a button, pull the button off. Make sure that you don't change the dial tonight because, boy, do we have a program for you. And here's why. We really have no planned guests tonight. And it's just me who's going to try to talk for 2 hours. So this could be a real mess. You might start your Labor Day weekend with a complete train wreck. That's what you might be in for tonight, a complete train wreck, because, you know, this is the way it goes. It's live, it's improvisational, and we're going to see how this goes. Now, here's how I want to start this night off. I want to start it off with a medical, because this is interesting to me. Here's what happened. Okay, all week I have had this weird thing happening that I really had not given much thought to because I've been busy this week. And you know when you're busy, you don't pay attention to little things. But I have had a quiver in my lip. Like it may be a lip spasm is what you would call it. Like my upper lip in the corner starts to spasm a little bit. And it goes on for like a few hours. It'll stop and start, stop and start, stop and start. And this has been going on for like a week now. Now, it's not like a broken leg or anything, so you don't think too much of it, and I haven't thought too much of it, and I've been busy and haven't done anything about it. And so today, it started to happen again. You know, I had the little lip quiver. Matter of fact, I had it when I was driving in tonight. And here's the point of that. I did a stupid thing. I did something that we all tend to do, which is not good. What I did was I looked it up on the internet. What could a lip quiver be? What could a lip spasm be? Because I don't know why this keeps happening. It's very strange. So I looked it up, and I have about 1,800 illnesses right now. And some of them are awful, awful illnesses. You would not guess that a little lip spasm could lead to lights out. I looked it up, and I'm thinking, I have a little lip spasm. Maybe I've got like an internal cold or something like that. You know, I'm no doctor. And I look this up, and oh my goodness, I could have terrible diseases. I might not even make it to the end of the 2 hours tonight. I might be done. So now I'm paranoid about this little lip spasm going on because it can lead apparently to horrible, horrible diseases. And I don't even want to say what the horrible diseases are because, then you say it out loud and you'll probably get that. See, that's how paranoid I am about this thing now. And it all started earlier in the week with just a little I don't know if it's called a spasm or a quiver or what you call it. But it happens every so often, just in the upper, always in the same spot, the upper left-hand corner of my lip. And it's just a little thing, and it goes on for a couple minutes, and then it stops, and sometimes it'll happen again. And I never would have guessed this is going to be what does me in. But after I looked it up on the internet tonight, I now know that this is what's going to do me in. That this is what's going to lights out. So if the sound goes dead at any time during the next 2 hours, you know what happened. So if the sound goes dead, you call 911, you tell them that Scott had a lip spasm or something like that, lip quiver, lip spasm. I'm not sure what the technical term for it would be, but tell them he had one of those and he's probably gone. He's probably went on to his reward. Because after reading it on the internet, I'm totally paranoid now. Totally paranoid. So, but why does the internet tell you stuff like that? It shouldn't tell you stuff like that. It's scary. It's weird. But I just wanted to let you know, in case anything happens in the next 2 hours, it all started in the upper left lip. It all started in the upper left lip, and that's why I collapsed and could not finish the show. So I just wanted to start with the medical. I think somebody, you know, I am for freedom of speech. Obviously, I'm for the First Amendment. I'm for freedom of the press. But I am not for somebody putting that medical advice on the internet. Somebody needs to go on there, a doctor or something, and put something, some kind of, I don't know, for idiots like me, who clearly, it will petrify you. And if the lip quiver doesn't kill me, the heart attack I'm going to have, because I'm worried about this now, will do me in. Think about this. This is awful. I should have had a nurse up here tonight with me. I thought about that. I thought about, well, maybe I should call a nurse because I've got to come do the live show. So maybe I should get a nurse to come in the studio with me. You know, they don't have to be on the air, but they could just be here in case I keel over. Now, normally, I would not think about keeling over at the desk, but, you know, after I read on the internet today what this lip quiver could be, now I believe it could possibly happen. So that's how we're going to start out the show tonight. As I told you, this is an unprepared, unrehearsed live show tonight. So you're getting it all. You're getting complete warts and all. This is as live can get with no plan. But yeah, that's a little petrifying. And if anybody out there knows what it could really be, let me know. Because I want to know stuff like that. I don't want to believe that it's what the internet told me it was, that it's fatal. I don't need a fatal. We've started off on a bad note already. I can feel it. All right. What else do we got to talk about here? Oh, I've been having trouble with the internet too at home. You know, I'm full of problems this week, as you can tell. I don't know what's going on with my internet. Now, somebody did have a good suggestion earlier on in the week that possibly it was because all the kids have went back to school, and that's what's slowing down my internet at home. But I have Spectrum, and normally it runs fine, but I don't know what's going on now. I don't know why the internet is running so weird. Sometimes it's just fine, and you get perfect speeds, and everything's hunky-dory, and there's no problem at all. And then other times, you know, it's like you're in a car with a crank. You know, you are not going anywhere. You're pushing that gas pedal, but you're not getting anywhere on the information highway. So, that's another pet peeve I have tonight. This just might be the show of pet peeves. You know, I'm going to talk about medicals. I'm going to talk about pet peeves. I'm going to talk about all this stuff. You know, it's Labor Day weekend, and here's something interesting. I don't think people know what Labor Day is supposed to mean. You know, Labor Day was really created in regard for unions, and I don't think people see it like that anymore. Matter of fact, I think most people are not for unions. I don't want to say anti-union, but it seems like they're not for unions. But we don't think of Labor Day like that. We don't think of it as a union celebration or anything of that nature. But that's how it all started, but we don't really think of it that way. So it's Labor Day weekend. It's a 3-day weekend. Everybody will get 3 days off. That's nice. But I don't know if it's thought of the way it's supposed to be thought of. I think now it's just vacation time. You know, Memorial Day still is thought of as a day to decorate the cemeteries. And July 4th, we're getting a guest. This is good. And I'll come back to talking here in just a moment. But as we continue on tonight on this Friday night, Labor Day weekend, it's such a pleasure to be joined this half hour by one of the dear friends of this program. He's been on, probably 100 times. And it's always a pleasure when he comes on because he not only has a great voice, which is what he is known for, he is also one of the most well-thought-out, intellectual broadcasters there has ever been. We all know him as the man with the golden voice, but he's just plain the best and a true friend in a pinch. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones on short notice tonight the internet sensation, the man who started the viral video, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Ted, how are you?
And a good Friday evening to my dear friend, and thought of equally as equally measured in the accolades you just gave me, Scott. I love you very much, and I love all of your listeners there in the Marion community. Scott, I'm doing well, and I love you very much, and thank you for such a big, well thought, well written, scripted, or whatever, big, great introduction here, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. Ted, you know, I was just talking about Labor Day and how this is really a weekend to celebrate the unions, but I don't think people think of it that way anymore.
Everybody pretty much thinks of Jerry Lewis on Labor Day.
That's right.
The telethon, the MDA telethon, and I look always forward to it at the beginning of September, and it's such a, man, time is just moving on, man. And, you know, I was looking at a movie yesterday, just to give you an idea of what I was dealing with. It was a movie, it's a new movie, and it's called, it's a movie with Jamie Foxx. It's called Project Power Project. And one of the things that when the movie was scripted, it said 2016 would be so much into the future that we'd be like the Jetsons, which we aren't pretty far from. But it just, I said, my God, they predicted back in the 70s that 2016 was a number that we would not be able to fathom, or some people, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, wow, we made it to 2020. As a universe.
Now, Ted, you know what I always find interesting? When you watch these shows that were made years ago about what it was supposed to be like now, two things you always see are flying cars and robots. We really never got there.
we got that. You know, we have a Tesla.
We do.
Yeah, well, the Tesla doesn't fly, but my God, it drives itself and does all those things.
Well, it does. And, you know, are you surprised at how far technology has come in the last 20 years?
Yes, and I'm surprised how it's become in the last 100 years. Not that I'm 100 years old. And I got another thought coming up in my head about what I just read. The oldest living person is 117, but the oldest living person recorded was 122. But the woman that's 117 right now, she's got all of her, you know, she's got all of her faculties, and the woman speaks well, and believe it or not, she loves soda pop, and I couldn't believe that her diet consisted of lots of soda pop, and she liked something else that seemed like diabetes would have cut her short long time ago.
You know what, one of my favorite jokes, and I heard Willard Scott tell this one time on the Today Show when he was doing the 100-year-old birthdays, he said, you know, like Fannie Mae Rice just turned 103 years old and she has no need for glasses. She drinks it right out of the bottle.
Wow.
I thought, well, that's a clever joke.
Yes, I think so as well. Hey, Scott, how's everybody in Marion, Ohio? Are they still dunking at the Dunkin' Donuts?
it is. You know, the popularity of the Dunkin' Donuts is absolutely huge, as you saw the first day they opened. But there's now a big pothole in the middle of that road, which is cutting off the traffic. The traffic flow has just been stopped.
They drove a pothole into the Dunkin' Donut. Now you can just pour your coffee in the hole and dip it in there. Hey, listen, how's little Bailey doing?
You know, she's doing okay. Last time I heard from her, she's been doing okay.
From where is that, Prospect, Ohio?
She's over in Prospect.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know,
go ahead.
We had so much fun that morning when we were all here together, and Thunderbolt mm-hmm. Patterson called in, and Kreskin
called in.
Oh,
yeah. You know, you're so clever and you're so artistic, man, that, you know, I look forward to, I really wish I was in the listening audience perimeters, or should I say the radius, to where I could be able to catch you. You're such a host, man, and I just want to tell you that WWGH, it would be one of my favorite stations to tune into.
Well, I appreciate that, Ted. And Ted, here's one thing I want to, and I'm just going to throw this out there. I know you stay active in what's going on in the news business. We had the Democratic and Republican conventions. What were your thoughts in general of those events?
In general, of both the D and R, the R and the D. I thought it was orchestrated great. You know, the people that they had on the panels that each candidate had on, their wives and all of that stuff. But as of recent, I don't know where this is all going to. You know, you got so much accusations about other government, or should I say other countries interfering with the process of, you know, doing this thing by mail and all of it. I just don't really have a sense of feeling of an electoral process to where, you know, this is going to be a fair and square showdown.
Well, I do want to say, and I know you're a veteran, Ted, and I want to make sure I say this story right because it was a breaking story today.
Now, I know it. Where are you going with this? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, here it is for people who didn't hear it. Now, it was first brought up in the Atlantic. Now, what the Atlantic said was that President Trump said that soldiers who have died in war are losers and suckers. Now, but he has denied this. He denies that he said
it. He denied many, many things, even down to where he was supposed to have said off camera or on camera that Entertainment Tonight thing where he was in the bus and was talking about the girls and their legs and what he'd like to do to them. And that was an audio portion that was captured, and he still denied it.
Well, he did, and he has he's getting denounced now over making these comments, but
yeah, suckers and losers, that's what he thinks of our military, who are sacrificing their lives to protect and to provide us with the security needed to keep this country, you know, at a level of freedom. You know, of course, a lot of lives have been cut short because of those same freedoms that we want. But yes, go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Well,
you're right.
It's interesting. Well, it's interesting because what happened today when this story came out, here's a report that we're getting from CBS News. It says President Trump declined an opportunity to apologize for his 2015 comments disparaging the late John McCain after the Atlantic alleged that he called American service members who died fighting suckers and losers. Mr. Trump has denied the story. Fox News confirmed parts of the story shortly before the president's news conference. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany on Friday strongly denied the Atlantic's report, saying it was based on four cowardly anonymous sources who probably don't even exist, and other administration officials also denied the story on record. On Friday afternoon, and I think this is the important part, on Friday afternoon, the president was asked if he regretted his comments that McCain is only a war hero because he was captured, saying he likes people who didn't get captured. The president on Friday turned down the opportunity. This is what he said. He said, "Look, I say what I say, and I never got along with John McCain. I wasn't a fan," the president said, adding he disagreed with me on many of his views on wars in the Middle East. So on the McCain comments, President Trump said, "Look, I say what I say, and I never got along with John McCain. I wasn't a fan."
I say what I say. That is something that should stick in Americans' minds and lives, you know, till the day that they go to that voting poll and do the process of voting. But I say what I say. It's just ridiculous. He said so many things that were probably unpresidential, un-American, and all of this, and just to leave our thoughts with, "I say what I say." That's like, I don't give a damn what y'all think about me. I say what I say. I don't care if I said that our military are losers and suckers because they lose their lives or they get captured. And he also said, and I think you didn't touch on it, is that no, he didn't regret saying it or retract it. He didn't think it meant that he had to do any kind of apologizing. And mind you, I guess it is noted that President-elect Biden is, has a son serving in the military actively in Afghanistan.
Absolutely. And I do believe his son, Bo, was a war veteran, the one who died of brain cancer.
Yeah. But listen to this. We have a president that doesn't feel any kind of retractions or made a mistake or anything other than the news services are uncredible and all of that. I say what I say. You know, I was trying to run for president, as you openly admitted that I was going to try to put myself on a ticket. But that was one of the things that I always feared, that is that there's misquotes. You know, some publications do have tendencies to miswrite things and all. And if that was the case, in many cases, that would have come up in my electoral process, I would have definitely retracted and apologized. I think we're missing that portion of a president. We're missing that he is capable of false and misquotes and all. But to sit up there and say, I say what I say. So leave it at that, America. I say what I say.
You know, Ted, what is strange about this, we don't know if he said the suckers or losers comments, but he has said many disparaging things about John McCain. Now, whether you like John McCain or agree with John McCain or not, when he was alive, you know, it, I guess, is fair game, I guess, to say what you want, but the man has been dead now for, I think, 3 years. To still making these comments about a man who's been gone for 3 years, is that the proper thing to do?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, if you're going to reference him in any way, it should be in a positive way, because he did have those kind of facts together to create an America that was safe and sound. Yeah, leave the man alone. He's dead. He's gone. There's no reason to bring him up.
Well, and it wasn't a good day for President Trump on another level, because yesterday, last night, he visited Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Now, Latrobe, Pennsylvania is the home, birthplace of Fred Rogers, legendary television personality Mr. Rogers. Now,
yes.
Fred Rogers has been gone since, I believe, 2003 is when Mr. Rogers passed away, but his wife, who is still there, 92 years old, Mrs. Rogers, in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, yesterday was contacted by the Daily Beast about this visit by President Trump, and she said, this is a quote from Mrs. Rogers, Fred Rogers' wife, the man is pathologically ill and mentally ill.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. Pathologically ill, you know.
Well, to say that about the president, you know, from Mrs. Rogers, it's interesting that she would speak out in that way with such strong language.
Yeah, well, we didn't expect her to come out and say, you know, what a beautiful day in the neighborhood. No, she was hurt, you know, by the fact that, you know, we're dealing with a man that just got this country in so much of a disruption in the regular processes of presidential people. And, you know, he's always talking about now. The other day I was listening, now that we're on the president, and I'm not bashing, I don't want any of our listeners, because I'm sure this is not a bashing situation at all coming out of my mouth. I think he's a great guy in terms of businesses and doing the trades and all of that kind of thing. But to blame China and all of these things, I don't know what your thoughts are on blaming China for the coronavirus being here in the United States because of their diet. I understand Chinese people eat bats, and from what I understand also that the bats created COVID-19. So, but what I was going to say is this, that he went against Anthony Fauci. But what is Tony Fauci's title in American
You know, I believe he's the chief medical advisor at this point.
Okay, he's an advisor.
I believe so.
Okay, well, he made the comment saying that in the California cases that have been reported, he made the number so small that Fauci, yes, sir, yeah. He made the comment. that it was 9,000 people that were affected by the COVID, and that it was actually 900,000. All right, it was one. Yeah.
Well, what do you think is going on there in the upper levels of the administration at this point?
What was the question again?
I say, what do you make of what's going on there in the upper levels of the administration with 2 months left to go to the presidential election?
Well, I'm just speaking for myself, truly for myself and my thoughts. I don't think that Trump should gain any kind of support in any of all of this because of its insensitivity. Here's the thing: insensitivity is not politically correct comments, and just to leave it all as I say what I say. So don't look for anything different. Don't think I can be persuaded into anything that would be, you know, a great, to make this United States the great nation that it has become and has always been, of freedom and all of this, and what do they call it, the Constitution and all of that stuff. These are things that men have died for and all of that. I don't think she should be president. I don't care what anybody thinks about what I say. But if you think I'm wrong, then yes, call Scott Spears at the station and tell Scott that you think that I made some very insensitive remarks about our president-elect. Our president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Ted, I got to ask you about this because since last we talked, Joe Biden chose his running mate, Kamala Harris. What do you make of her?
Yes. Oh, I love her. You know, of course, I've seen some things and I've heard some things like all of us have. But you know, she's a strong woman. She's educated. The historical aspects of it all, putting her on the ticket as being the first Black and Asian that has been chosen for this predicament. Opportunity to become America's vice president, I think is absolutely fabulous. Fabulous. I wish Michelle Obama would have been a shot at being so. You know, I think truly. If African Americans didn't think very much of Trump then, they really, really got a great opportunity to show their rights to vote and get out there and vote, for Kamala. Am I pronouncing her correctly?
Kamala Harris, yes.
Yeah, Kamala Harris. Pamela with a K. that's how I think of it. But, yeah, Kamala Harris. I think she'd be a grand choice for his running mate, and I'd love to see them both win. But here's my thoughts too. If we're doing it by U.S. mail, look at the press that our U.S. mail postal service is getting these days. As of late, people have said that there's been mail sitting down that has not been delivered since the last part of 2019, and here we are into September of 20, and we still ain't got it.
I know. Well,
I'm still waiting for my stimulus check, my first one.
Well, it's an awful, awful mess. What do you make of the whole stimulus situation? They can't seem to come together on a second one.
Yeah, I think the closer we get to that election day, I think it's going to be passed. I pretty much, they've got it all the way up to that one vote or whatever it takes to get that, you know, that one decision or that one day of meeting to go ahead and hit the gavel and say pass. I'm hoping it gets to that point because so many people are out of work. Unemployment is rising. We as a country got to get. I was just thinking about no sports, no Ohio State Fair, or I don't know what y'all going to do about the Popcorn Festival, or has that already been passed?
It would be coming up this coming weekend. It's canceled.
Wow. America as we once knew it is not the same, David. And my parents said they're probably rolling over in their graves, man. Scott, what did I call him?
You got me. It's okay. I knew what you meant. And Ted, this is an interesting thing. With this 30 or 60-something days out from the election at this point, who do you think's going to take it on that November 3rd night?
Trump or Biden?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our newly elected president, Joseph Biden.
Now, if Biden does win, what do you think will happen the next day? Do you think, because there's been all this talk that President Trump will not leave the office, that his supporters could be very angry, that he might say the election was fixed. What do you think will happen?
Oh, he's going, man, he is going to fight to the, he's going to have, man, I don't know. I'm totally scared for the man, literally, because Trump is capable of doing anything. I say what I say. He'll have, you know, there's going to be some disruptions. I think on the very next day, outside of him and his wife having a good little lovemaking congratulation, I think this country is going to turn around like you wouldn't believe. And first and foremost, this coronavirus seems to be the first thing, and then, of course, the judicial process of these officers. We don't even hear no more about any of those, some of those, like the guy in New York. What happened to the cops that kneeled on him and killed him? What happened to the, oh, that one lady, that one female officer, she did get 10 years for killing the guy that she thought was in her apartment. You know, there's so many backlogs of cases. Now I've seen a guy drive through at Times Square on a Black Lives Matter group of supporters, you know, and just every day there's something different. Whatever, whoever gets elected president, I think the next day, the very next day, would be like, Mr. President, this is what we got to do first. This is what we got to do second. This is what we got to do for, you know, that kind of, I don't even think he's going to have like a few moments of quiet time just to absorb the reelected or the newly elected situation.
Do you fear Biden's age? He would be 78 years old on election day.
Yes, I do, Scott. And I'm sorry to be the first to even admit that I hope nothing happens in the middle. Well, that would mean, of course, that Kamala would become president. But, I am fearful that, you know, all of this excitement getting out there and trying to, you know, fight with the election process or campaigning, going to these cities and commenting on some of the things. He lashed out when he heard suckers and losers, on that. And again, that has yet to be proven that he said that, you know, and lucky Trump. But he did give an indication, I say what I say. You know, I was watching the 6 o'clock news tonight and World News Tonight, and they had mentioned that outside of that remark, I say what I say, he said that publication that printed that, whether it was a misquote or not, but printed that, he said, well, yeah, that publication, which I can guarantee will not be existing no more. Like, he's going to go and make sure that the editor-in-chief and the newspaper or whatever, it will be no more.
You know, Ted, we live in Ohio, and the way the numbers look, it does look like Ohio will go for Trump. Now, maybe it will go for Biden, we don't know, but Biden does not have to win Ohio to win the election. Trump pretty well does. Now, at this point, what is your prediction for Ohio? Do you think it will go Trump?
Oh, definitely. And you know what? What is the process? And see, I have to ask you, because you're so well-read, I have to ask you, what is that got Trump in? He didn't win by numbers, but he won by
the electoral college.
Yeah, the electoral college vote. It's going to be somewhat of a close one. And if he does win, I don't think it'll be just by him capturing Ohio and the most crucial states that are basically red states. But I think it's going to be very close, man. And then, of course, like you said, he's gonna scream foul. I bet you it doesn't become a smooth election where the networks are gonna sit there and say undeniably Trump won because if many people are gonna vote by mail, we already know our mail system, and I'm sure he's already in contact with the Postmaster General and sitting up there trying to gain some leverage there. You know, it's just going to be a mess, man. It's going to be a mess. And other countries are now having the full opportunity, if they haven't done it, and probably have done it, laugh at us like we're just so much of a messed up country now. We, you know, not only are we medically messed up, but, you know, we're not providing true answers from our commander-in-chief. He thinks everybody's lying. And he tweets, you know, he's like a, I don't know any. I just my comments are so frustrated more so than even, you know, answering on an intelligent level to say, well, Scott, you know, this is going to be this. Our country is just messed up.
You know, Ted, and people might, I remember you telling this story when you announced you were going to run for president back in 2015, 5 years ago, and maybe it's time to tell it again, because it's interesting that when you were the viral video sensation, you had an offer from Donald Trump at that time, did you not?
Yes, I did, absolutely. You know what, and since then, and I have to tell you, just last week I was offered some money to do a video on TikTok, and it was another vehicle. But they said that they wanted me to give an endorsement of Donald Trump, and they were going to pay me, and I denied it. I didn't want to get up there and sound, you know, knowing that I feel one way about Biden, Kamala Harris ticket. But you asked me what did I? He offered me a 1 year's rent-free lease in Trump. Is this what you're speaking about?
Yes.
Yes, yes. He offered me and my wife, Kathleen, and by the way, she's doing well. Thank you for all your prayers and all. He offered me a 1 year's lease in Trump Towers in New York and a vehicle and something else. And he called me personally, not on my cell phone or nothing, but he called me through the way of WNCI's Dave and Jimmy show, The Morning Zoo. He called me by way of that and was on. He said, hi, this is Donald Trump. And, man, I just couldn't believe. Of course, he was big with the
The Apprentice.
Yes. The Apprentice, yes. He was very big on reality television show. And I was so excited to get that call from this man, and he offered me that. But, of course, I had been offered so many things that it didn't even sink in. But I would have loved to have lived up there in Trump Towers in New York and rent free, you know.
Well, did you ever think that this man would become president of the United States?
No, none whatsoever. I heard about all of the property he owns up in Atlantic City, how he's real popular. Trump Towers, you know, is real popular, and this has been constructed by Trump. No, there's no way I would have ever thought that that man was president. I didn't even think he was presidential material to even voice that. Outside of the Ross Perot situation, he was like the only un-president person that was campaigning to become president. I thought Ross Perot was a joke. I thought somebody was just pulled a joke on us to have a billionaire sit up there and run and don't even have no, wasn't even a governor or a mayor or something. If he'd had some kind of, I thought Trump would have been, now if he'd have ran for mayor or something of New York something like that, I would have believed it.
Well, and here's the thing, Ted, this is an interesting story. So somebody, do you know who this was? Was it a political group or was it just a person offered you money to do a TikTok video in support of President Trump?
This was a campaign person here in Columbus, and literally he was going to pay me right on the spot. All he wanted me to do was do this little cameo pop-up or whatever, and he said, hello, are you, he said, excuse me, are you the man with the golden voice? And I said, yes, I am. Ted Williams is my name. And we shook hands and all. He said, listen, he said, what do you think of Donald Trump? I said, oh, do you got a few days? And he laughed and chuckled and all. He said, well, listen, I just was told that you were up here. Now, he got out of a fairly decent car. It was new and all of that. I thought it was a joke. And so I said, what do you want me to do? And so he explained, you know, I worked for the Trump committee to elect Trump and this, that, and the other. And it would be a great, great idea for you to come onto our website or whatever and do a campaign endorsement of, he didn't give me no script or anything, but he was getting ready to type it up and all. And he called New York while I was there because I was talking to many people. I'm still somewhat recognized, but... you know, wherever I go. So I was distracted by a gentleman who said, excuse me, can I take a selfie? And so while I was doing all that, this dude was on the telephone. And when he got off the telephone, and I pretty much signed an autograph for this guy's son. And when I turned around, he said, man, I just got off the phone with the president of the election board or something and said, would you would you do this? And he was going to give me $250 for a 30-second little snippet of, hi, this is Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice, and if you think you're making a golden decision this election day, and that was as far as I was thinking, because he was coming up, that's as far as he wrote.
Now, Ted, this is interesting, because so you had told him, he asked you what you thought about politics, you said you were for Biden, and yet he still wanted to offer you $250 to say you were for Trump?
Yes.
What do you make of that?
I don't know whether it was, you know, of course, my little TikTok video or whatever probably wouldn't went nowhere, but you've heard of Cameo.com?
Yes.
Yes, he was putting me on Cameo.com as just a regular person. Now, I could have done that by way of that and just said, hi, this is Ted Williams. Vote for Donald Trump this election day and left it at that. But I just didn't want to be associated with that idea, you know, and people will be sitting up there thinking like, you know, I don't know what you make of people that sit around. I got a sister-in-law. I got all three of my sister-in-laws are all Trump supporters. Every time I bring up religion, they're all pretty much spiritually connected. And so every time I think about how Donald Trump has made some spiritual ill remarks and all of that, I say, what have he actually done for this country? What have he... Oh, they talk about the unemployment, and they talk about that he is the man, he is the one. But all of them make six figures or more. So I can understand people, Trump wants to do so much for the rich people, but he ain't doing nothing for the inner city. That the other day when he was on the... when talking about that brother, that the black dude that was sitting there, which I called, he was a house N-word, but he was sitting there telling everybody all these things that Trump has done, and for the black community, and all of this, that, and the other. I was like, where is he getting these statistics from? Where I'm saying to myself in my mind, where is he getting all this crap from? I can't think of anything he's actually done for black America. And maybe I might be wrong. Maybe I haven't looked at enough stuff, you know, or did any homework towards that. But, yeah, it would have been awful for me to get up there and say, hi, Ted Williams here, the man with the golden voice. Make your golden choice for Donald Trump this election day.
Ted, let me ask you this. Since we are getting so close to the election, if somebody from the Joe Biden camp would approach you, would you have a problem supporting Joe Biden?
No, I'd have been right on there, brother. I'd have said, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris's number one choice. It's golden. It's true. And this man, mind you, has a history of political agendas in his repertoire, in his resume. This man has been involved in politics and that age thing is what kills a lot of people when I speak to them. I'm not campaigning for either one of them, but when I talk about the Biden possibility, the person, man, Teddy's almost 90. I said, he ain't 90, he's 80, or close to 80. Everybody's concerned about his age.
Yeah, what it's interesting. What do you mean?
Donald Trump, how old is Donald Trump?
73.
Okay, well, and again, the age difference, about 4 years?
About 4 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, anything could happen to Trump. Trump ain't in the best of health, not that I know his health regiments, but, he doesn't look like a guy that goes out and runs 5 miles a day.
You know, Ted, when we look back, how do you think we're going to look at the first term of President, maybe the only term, we don't know yet. Well, how will we look back at this four-year period, which is getting ready to end in just a couple months?
What has he done? That's all. That's my thing. What has he done in the first 4 years? He gave us a stimulus check. He never jumped on the wall. Not that I'm supporting that wall. It reminds me of the Great Wall of China or the Berlin Wall or whatever wall could have been to knock down. That wall was a joke. And then, of course, one guy gets convicted of embezzling or stealing people's donation money. One minute, we're going to pay for it, or he's going to make Mexico pay for it. And the next minute, they're soliciting funds to get the wall done. And then you got people like what's my boy's name that was the big drug cartel man you know who I'm talking about the one that escaped through one of the tunnels.
Oh, El Chapo? Was it El Chapo?
Yeah, El Chapo.
Now, Ted, I want to ask you this because I think this question, or this statement has been made, and maybe you would be qualified to answer this by what you've seen over the years. Many people say President Trump is a racist. There have been the comments about the Ku Klux Klan.
I believe that.
You would say that.
Yes, I believe that. I absolutely. Well, you know what? He might not be a full, because he does have some type of immigrants in his family background and all of that kind of thing. But yeah, I believe he's a racist. Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Any particular reason in your mind that you would say that?
Well, you know, a lot of the hotels and the construction that has been done on many of these properties have always been done by immigrants, you know, low paying, outside of the engineering process and all of that, like electricians and all of those people outside of that. But they were just low level immigrants from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Dominicans was under the employ of Trump and everything. And he just called him, you know, I heard that he made a remark in the New York Daily News years ago, you know, they're slave labor is what he referred to it, slave labor. Now, anytime a man makes that comment that, you know, I employ a lot of slave labor people, that ain't too cool.
Ted, we've run out of time. There's never enough time. It always blows right. You have been such a pal to me over the years. We will continue our working relationship and our friendship, and maybe we'll even get you up here election night or before it. I would love to see you.
Oh, please. I'd love to. I'd love to be, well, not necessarily on the counting process, but that would be fun, Scott, for me to come up there and say, ooh, I'll get our listening audience at WWGH 107.1. I'll get our audience a little involved on that. Day we'll have people calling in. I just finished voting. Who did you vote for, sweetie?
That's right.
Let's have fun with that.
And I do want to say this, as I said in the beginning, he is known for his voice, but he is also a man of kindness, a sensitivity, and great intellect. The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. What a pal you are to me. I appreciate it so much.
I love you, Scott. Call me. Hey, listen, WWGH listeners, I love you all, and I do love the city of Marion, okay? Home of Bob Nunnally.
Thank you, Ted.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. We're coming back in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. I say what I say. Stay tuned.
I usually love Republican governors, and he's gotten very little criticism for being out of the state the last 8 months. While our economy is doing worse than Michigan, our job growth is weaker than Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky, in spite of what we hear in campaign talk. But there's a lot of work to do in this state. The Sebring water, poisoning of the water there with lead, the state didn't do anything about. And, you know, the state needs to focus on scandal and all these problems it has that nobody's paying